Good morning. Welcome in ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander on a gray Sunday. Not enough coffee in the pot this morning, Brian. But I had to remember when I woke up today, I was so disappointed about game one. When I woke up, I had the feeling like we blew the doubleheader. And then I had coffee and I'm like, wait a minute. Josh Harrison made a great defensive play. We actually won the second game. And I got into a better mood.
Yeah, it was kind of like the encapsulation of the Sox season yesterday.
Running to stay still, pal.
You both teams cough up leads that look comfortable. Liam Hendricks has just been, unbelievably hot. And
never a good time to have a bad game for a closer. Never a good time.
Well, and, you know, we need new material. The fire Tony chant, okay. It just erupts. I know it's kind of organic. Anything that's going wrong, it's not necessarily.
It's easy. It's low-hanging fruit.
Right. But, I guess you can question whether Hendricks should be in a tie game in the ninth inning. Yeah, I guess that's open for debate, right?
But you know what? Honestly, though, and I know what you're saying, but if it had worked out, there's no way we're even talking about that.
But
so we only question that stuff when it doesn't work.
Right. That's what we do as baseball fans.
Right.
But that, I mean, there was. Our buddy Murph immediately, the tweet for the show, I said the Sox weren't half bad, meaning they split the doubleheader. Mm. And that's kind of been their season. They're not half bad. It's just a saying, right? And he said, well, I think they're a bad hop away from losing a doubleheader. That's the problem. But there were some positives there yesterday. Grandal, a positive. Mancata,
a positive. A guy who we have been lambasting.
Right.
And I stood up for him last week because I really felt like he was starting to turn a corner. And, I mean, it's a 50-50 shot, right? Flip a coin.
Right.
You know, what's going to happen? And he really has, thankfully. We need him.
And we need to see much more of Grandal, certainly. But 4-for-7 RBI, I mean, that's a nice coming off the IL. And, there's some things to like about it. Certainly, Lance Lynn, I mean, boy, you needed to see him.
Absolutely. I did not like him getting pulled. Right away, I just hit Twitter. It's like, why? One more inning. Hashtag one more inning. Can we get that to really just take off for White Sox fans? Hashtag one more inning.
So big picture, there was a lot to like yesterday. Now, again, you need to see much more of it. I mean, Lance has had a few rough starts, so you need to see a few consecutive put-together Lance Lynn-type starts. You need to see more Grandal. You need to see more Mancata. Aloy Jimenez was nice. He sent the ball out of the park. So, look, in the Hendricks thing, that just...
You're going to have a bad game at some point.
I know. I have full faith and trust in him.
Right.
He's not on my watch
list. He's been nailed for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
But sometimes it happens.
Yes. Right. But, it's disappointing that after the break and you won 3 of 4 against the hated Twins coming into the All-Star break and you're at home and you just can't figure it out at home and you drop the first game and then, you drop the second game and you're thinking if you drop the third game, it's like, good Lord, what's going on here?
I know
people are saying, wait a minute, what'd that lineup look like again? Why are guys not in there the first day after the break? Some people yesterday on Twitter, I hate this team. I mean, they're Sox fans. They're just so
frustrated. Everybody is on the edge, Brian. They have been for a while. If you're an intense Sox fan and you live and die by the team, there's life and death, and it's a day-by-day proposition. And when they lose, you start really getting down into the weeds as to why. And I've seen the extremities, too, among the people that I see on Twitter. I mean, people are just ready to jump off a building. And it's like...
Well, one tweeted out, even if they were winning, I hate this team. I don't know where that comes from.
I know. Well,
I don't even know. There's a disconnect there. Do you not like the players? Do you not like Tony so much that you're going to hate the team? Do you not like the fact that there are still holes in this roster and we're going
to
be?
People have to remember that there is a thrill of watching baseball. And yes, you feel great after a win, but you're just not going to breeze through a season. Like the
Yankees. They haven't done that. The one thing they won't ever be accused of in this 2022 is breezing through the season.
Right.
I don't care what happens.
Well, I don't know what these expectations of these fans that say I hate the team even when they're doing well.
I don't know what that means necessarily.
Right.
I feel the frustration, and I've watched enough Sox games, I've watched more entire Sox games this year than I have the Red Hot Cubs. Don't leave Philadelphia. Just stay there. It's working out fine for everybody. But the thing, you can't win at home. And then, you know, yesterday, even with the good, you split that. You can't just say, oh, well, good, we have a chance to salvage a four-game series at home. That's not going to be good enough when it's all said and done.
No, it's not. And the home record speaks for itself. It's terrible. Yeah, it's absolutely terrible, and you're not going to get anything done worthwhile when the season comes to an end and you get into the playoffs. If you get into the playoffs, playing that bad at home, it's just not going
to
happen.
Do you want me to give you the health check on baseballreference.com playoff probability for your Chicago White Sox?
Yeah, I mean, we do this every week, and every week it hurts.
We haven't done it in about a month. I mean,
haven't we? Okay, yeah, no, I guess we haven't. Yeah. Okay.
What was it last time, like 20%? Right?
It was maybe, I think we were on Saturday and Sunday, and I think it went from 19 to 20 or 22 a win.
I said, you know, if someone told you there's 20% chance of rain, would you take an umbrella?
Mm-hmm.
And then with the rain we've had the last couple of nights, I'd take the umbrella. Well, the umbrella wouldn't do you any damn good anyway with the wind. To be a postseason team, it's gone up to 36.5%, which is only 2 percentage points behind the Guardians. That doesn't roll off the tongue. Behind Cleveland, you got no shot at the wild card. I mean, you have to win this division. You know, you're sitting at a 10% chance, lockstep with Cleveland. You have to win this division. So there's too many teams in front of you for the wild card. So it's all about the division. Yep. Now, we talked about it last week. The schedule gets appreciably easier in the second half of the season.
But that doesn't make me feel better as a White Sox fan, because we've got beaten by teams that aren't great.
Yeah, but
so what does that mean?
But you haven't been able to beat winning teams, and that's been the issues are you can't win at home, and you really can't beat winning teams. And I'd have to see what it is within the division. I don't think it's all that great, but there it is. I mean, it's the fact that you're still, what, four games back? Mm-hmm. It seems like it's been like that for 2 months, right?
Right, running to stay still.
I mean, it's just, I don't know why you hate the team. I certainly frustration, you know, there's six other words you could come up with the team, but hate was pretty strong yesterday, and that was after you split.
Well, it's free to use adjectives.
Sure. So,
and I will say this. For me personally, right now, the Guardians are a scarier team for the White Sox than the Twins are. That's my opinion. And we're going to go over some names. We've got some Twitter polls. I thought about doing a Twitter poll on this, and we've got a couple of other ones we'll get to. But what are the names that, when they pop up in the Guardians lineup, you know, if you could do it without any repercussion, who would you just walk automatically? And it's not Ramirez for me. It's somebody else.
And sometimes it is for Tony, and sometimes it's not.
That's one of the things that frustrates
Tony.
Fans. Yes, because he didn't walk Jose Ramirez, and it's yes, that is something you can't question. But the thing is, with the fans, Brian, this stuff is just piling on, and they're looking for somewhere to point a finger. And oftentimes, the players don't get the fingers pointed at them as much as they should. Mm-hmm. However, players that we were pointing our fingers at, like Yoan Moncada, they've come around. Now, Gavin Sheets, since the last time we talked, has gone cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a case of not everybody playing their best at the same time and not everybody being able to stay on the field without getting injured. And we still have Luis Robert and a concern about him. And we haven't heard any information on what is happening, which is really kind of scary. Because when you talk about dizziness, you're talking about could be vertigo, could be any number of things.
Right.
Because dizziness is a function of the brain. And you know, the balance, I don't know what they're called, right? By the ears? I didn't do well in physiology.
Equilibrium?
Yeah, the equilibrium, you know, all of that. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff. And who knows what it is, but they haven't said anything.
Well, Rick Hunt didn't shed any light on it other than say we had him looked at Minnesota, in Minnesota, and at home in Chicago. And he basically didn't give you any kind of prognosis.
And that is the problem, because if it was something simple, why wouldn't they say that?
Right. I mean, it's not, you know, we thought, okay, hopefully it's just like dehydration and he'll be, you know, give him an IV and he'll be good to go in a day or so. And that obviously hasn't been the case.
Right. And his bat was hot. And they were saying that this dizziness and this thing that he was suffering from affected him more in the field than it did at the plate. And we saw that. We saw some weird stuff happen in the field.
Balls he normally would get to.
That's right. That's right.
So maybe he was hitting. Misjudged him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's concerning because look. Like you said, everyone hasn't been playing their best baseball at the same time. If you had, that, then you would be the Yankees, right? Or Houston.
Well, first, not everybody's been on the field that needs to be on the field at the same time, then playing their best at the same time.
But you need guys to pick other guys up. So, like you said, Gavin Sheets has done that, you know, played that role for a few weeks, and now he's cold. It's just, you know, stops and starts and fits and starts and again, the home record just baffles me. It really does. And, you know, Johnny Cueto yesterday wasn't the Johnny Cueto we're used to, but
yeah, he had one bad inning, and your team should be able. Yeah,
I mean, he grinded that out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, my point is that he wasn't at the top of his game, and he figured out a way to give you innings.
Well, that's the pro that he has been throughout the year, and that is the pro that everybody needs to pay attention to. Now we saw Lucas Giolito have a few games. Was it one or two that were rebounds, and then on Friday.
Ooh.
Pretty rough.
Ooh,
and there's a guy who, you know, heading into the season for the past few years, he's been our quote unquote number one pitcher. So he's finding his way in and out of issues that we haven't really seen before. And you're right about Lance. It was one game, but it only takes one game. He just has to build on that. But he was solid yesterday, and I just did not like the early pull. And I'm just wondering, they couldn't have had him on a pitch count. I'm wondering if they just saw something that we didn't, or maybe even Lance said, you know, I'm good, but usually he's the guy that's fighting to stay in the game.
Sure. And, you know, maybe you just wanted him to get out of there with a real good feel good and hope he builds upon
and
that.
And thankfully that game worked out. But the first game, unfortunately, Cueto did not get rewarded for gutting it out. And he is the guy that's really led us. We just have to keep that run support going. Owen in Willowbrook, before we hit the break, he wants to jump in. Good morning, Owen. You're on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know, I think when you guys say that people say they don't like the team or they hate the team, I think part of it comes out of the frustration that I think this team is kind of a waste of talent. I think that the problem is they don't do the little things right.
Mm.
I don't think they're capable of going on long streaks to Seattle. Like, well, obviously, like the Yankees hit their way usually in the streaks. But the Sox, the only way they're ever going to do anything is if they hit their way in the streaks because they don't walk. Like, even Steve Stone's, you know, touchdown a little bit the other day. And Johnny Cueto obviously has been the surprise of the year for this team. But he doesn't back up home plate. You know, they just don't do the little things right, I think, to, you know, to go out and win this division and to be, you know, look, it's been a year, almost over a year since the All-Star break. They're a 500 team.
Yeah.
They're a 500 team, and they could be better if they did the little things right, I think.
No, you're right. Thank you, Owen. We appreciate it. You know, he's got a point, Brian. You know, we've seen them not do the little things right consistently. It's got to be a consistent thing.
That's interesting. I mean, okay, because the word on Twitter was hate, and that takes in a lot of territory, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said I understand the frustration, but Owen's correct. There is seemingly a waste of that. If you looked at the talent on the field or on paper going into the season, there's a lot more talent than this record would reflect. And you know, we know about the injuries and ad nauseum and all that. But maybe that's it. That you just, you know, as much as Yoan's giving you a week or two, and then you don't notice him for a couple weeks at the plate. That's the frustration because you think it's there, and you've seen it in previous season that it's there for the entirety or the most of the season, right? So maybe that's it. That you just figure that, and they're starting to go back to that. Well, we just got to grind it out. You know, AJ Pollock, God bless him, you know, saved the day yesterday. But he's like, well, I know it's in here. We just got to keep showing up. I mean, that refrain is getting a little bit old, right? That, you know, we just keep showing up, doing the right things, so it'll work out. You got to hit the accelerator.
Well, every time we're on, we talk about, is this where the corner turns when they have a win or two or three or four? and then nothing. And they just, they're just running a standstill. As I said, they're basically a 500 team. Didn't seem like there was a lot of urgency coming out of the All-Star break. They were hot going into it. I was kind of concerned that maybe that intensity, you know, for us White Sox fans, you know, maybe not having an All-Star break would have helped out. We'll never know. 312-332-3776. Let's hit the break. We've got Larry, we've got Raul, and we'll take your call too here at 312-332-3776. Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
And that's what you're always concerned about. Everybody's concerned when you come back after the break. You know, the feel of Johnny was, it was gutty, but, you know, he made some mistakes. Some of our relievers made mistakes. But Lynn was very sharp. And that's evidently when he did his side at home, he got something out of it. The job that Lynn looked like Lynn, that's a big boost, not just today, but going forward. You know, we got the single runs up 3-0. Then they do what they do. You know, they keep battling. Very tough four spot. You had two outs, but they got the runs, and we came back. One thing about Matt, he's not afraid. He's a very courageous guy. We all admire him. But it was very tough, very gutty win for us.
Yeah, it was. Great way to finish off a doubleheader. I mean, you got to win two, but if you can't, you got to at least take one, Brian. And that's what they did. Harrison made a great play to end the game yesterday. You know, Tony talked about the mistakes. Mistakes are made. You have to overcome them. And that's what we haven't done enough of this year.
Well, and that's why you sit, you know, in the 500 neighborhood forever. You have permanent residence. And that's why you sit four games, give or take, behind the division leader. And that's why you haven't seen this White Sox baseball, best baseball yet, for a sustained period of time. And you're going to have to if you want to get this done. So,
I guess the fans that aren't jumping off buildings and saying that they hate the team, I guess they're still hoping that for that big run that they're supposed to make, should have made by now.
Need to make.
Right. Larry on the South Side jumps in here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Larry.
Hey, you know what? I just think that this White Sox is one of the softest teams in Major League Baseball. They have to be. They rested and started. Why Anderson can't play both games? Why he have to sit one out? I mean, you got Robert already out forever. The guy was hot. All of a sudden, he's out. I mean, it's always something. One player is always deciding they're going to sit out for a week. I don't understand it. And I'm going to tell you something now, too. They may have to take his Hall of Fame credentials away because I'll tell you, because he cannot handle a pitching staff, and especially a bullpen. He never makes the right decisions on the bullpen.
Well, yeah, you know, his arms have to be better too. Thanks, Larry. You know, they've got to do the job that they were hired for, and not everybody is a go-to. When Foster came in yesterday, I winced on Twitter. Thankfully, it worked out.
He's a tough guy, Matt. We all admire him. Didn't you hear TLR?
Yeah,
said?
Yeah.
Matt, we love Matt. He's tough. Okay, tough. That's great. Look, and that bullpen, not nearly as advertised. I mean, now you're getting to the point where Jose Ruiz and Ronaldo Lopez are guys that, I mean, on their best, they're pretty good. They're not. I mean,
Lopez has been good.
More consistently than
Ruiz or Foster. But you're right. Everybody has to be able to do the job when they're called upon. And he was saying, Larry was saying something about, you know, it's got to be the softest team. All right. If it's the softest team, are the players soft, or is Tony treating them as such?
And here's the thing, because Tim Anderson told Steve Greenberg in the Sun-Times when Steve was out in Los Angeles for the All-Star break, he did a story about, you know, about what the post-All-Star break looks like for the White Sox, including what's going on in the clubhouse. And Tim Anderson said, we laugh at all that stuff. Like, we know what's going on, and all this other speculation, whether it's the Bob Nightingale stuff saying there's cliques and it's not a together clubhouse. And obviously, you know, he got that from somebody who either, whether they actually know what they're talking about or not. But the fact is, Larry's right. I mean, if Tim Anderson's legs, don't tell me it was such a taxing trip to L.A. that you had to give him, part of the day off yesterday. I'm with Larry. Unless there's something going on with his legs, there's no reason he's not in that lineup both games, right?
We need all hands on deck right now, and I agree with you. But again, when you make a comment about the Sox are soft, okay, Is it Tony or is it the players? And I think Tony has a lot to do with it. He's the one. I would really find it hard to believe that Tim would be like, you know what, Coach, I want to sit the first game.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
If he did say that, then he's not a leader of my
team. Right, right. And that's exactly right. But I really, really do not believe that he would have said something like that unless something was bothering him. And I don't think it is. And, you know, but do we really know? 312-332-3776. Raul joins us from Logan Square. Hey, Raul.
What's going on? Good morning, guys. I'm just going to state the obvious, you know, try to make it quick. We all know it's La Russa, the team, but I'm going to point blank this at management, at the stupidity mixed with stubbornness. And I'm not taking credit away from Han because I think he built a stud team with some swag.
Okay.
They lack peskiness, a pesky hitter to get on base. This team reminds me a lot of the 16, 17, 18 Cubs. Everybody wanted to hit a home run. And this lineup that they built, power lineup, you put them against any other team, they got the best power lineup, but it seems like they ain't clicking. And there's La Russa. He got no swag with this team. You know what? The team does respect him. Maybe because he caught that DUI, he's okay, man. He's got some swag in him. But other than that, he ain't got no. He ain't got control of it. He got control of the team, but it's not good mixing good with the players. I'm Hispanic. And if I don't want to see an old school coach, you know what I'm saying, or anything. I probably he's got a nice old school ride. Maybe that'll be cool for La Russa, but that's about it. I need somebody to take the man like Ozzie Guillen would. I'm not saying Ozzie Guillen should come back, but they need to fire this guy. If not, they're going to go down the drain.
Well, he's not going to get fired. Raul, where does the stubbornness come in? You said stubbornness.
What Kenny Williams. And sticking to not firing Tony La Russa, as simple as that.
Ryan yeah, Thorpe, but you know that's not Kenny's. That's not that, Kenny's
that's
call.
Jerry.
I know, but
that
Kenny. But Kenny got rid of. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say he got rid of Guillen, man. But they gave him the cold shoulder quick, man. And I'm not. I'm a Cuff fan, and I just want. You know, I'm not going to hate on them because they got a great lineup, man, and I want them to do good. You know what I'm saying? But still, man, they're not being ran the way they should be for the simple fact they got the old. People syndrome, like yeah, the old lady McCaskey and Ryan Storff too, man. And like, kind of, it sucks for Chicago White Sox. For me, as a Cubs fan, I hope they don't fire La Russa because when they do, and if they did, these team will go on a 10-game winning streak.
I don't
want them to
Alan
do it.
Joe Girardi. Yeah, thanks, Raul.
Thanks, Raul. Appreciate it. Boy, the phones are stacked. Brian Hanley, let's get
how about that? How about the frustration of the Cub fan, Raul? I'm not as frustrated as he is, but having invested all the time to watch this and then knowing the expectations going into the season, I feel, you know, like I'm like, there's got to be more here. Every time I watch it, there's got to be more
We're
here.
We're all feeling that.
But, you know, I've said it. The after night game, Tony. And that's a bad look for me when the hat's like half on, half off, and the hair dye is kind of everywhere. And
I haven't done a meme check on that, but I'm sure that there are a lot of memes featuring the after night game Tony.
And the eyes, he's kind of looking at the ceiling with his eyes, the eyelids are half open, half closed, and he's like, well, that one.
It's about 2 second delay before he answers the question.
Yeah, much better after a day game. But you know, hey, I'm what do you say, old man syndrome? I'm not as old as Tony, thankfully. But hey, 9 o'clock starts rolling around, and I don't have a hair dye or a hat, but you know, my eyelids get a little heavy. You know?
Well, yeah. To have a manager that has some energy to lead the team, that can't hurt. Patrick's in Pilsen. Hey, Patrick, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Every time this team does a little bit to get us all back on board, it goes back to mediocrity right away. I think the key to bringing this season back to life is just to constantly talk a little trash for the rest of the season so they have some doubters, because every time they suck us back in, they go right back to 500 and below.
So who's talking trash? We should just... Just keep complaining?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should just keep complaining, because week in and week out, we'll complain a little bit, and then they'll win a couple games, they'll win a series or two, and then we'll be like, all right,
we'll come off the ledge,
in.
And then it'll start all over again.
Exactly. So we just have to be a little pessimistic the entire time, but back in the back in our minds, we know that they're going to win it all, but we just have to talk trash.
You know, Patrick, that's probably the best sense we're going to get today. I appreciate it.
But, okay, so and backing up Patrick is Will Chase tweeted at us. Cut to the chase. Check out his podcast. It's out there. Charlie Bevinson, he spent some quality time this week.
No, I saw that.
It's really, but Will just said something similar, that they hate this team because the team keeps luring them back in with three or four from Minnesota. Every time you're ready to put the stake in them and say they're done, right? And you know that Dracula is not rising from the dead. They do, and then you get excited with possibility. And then they come home. Ugh.
So, okay, so fans are exhausted.
Yes.
It's a roller coaster ride with lots of dips and lots of peaks.
And Stoney keeps going on Twitter. He hasn't done it lately. Enjoy the ride. If you don't like the ride, get off the ride. Right. Go do something else. It's a nice day. Well, it's maybe going to turn into a nice day. But 162 is tough enough when you have a bad team or a middling team. But this team was expected to be content for a World Series, not just try to overcome a 4 or 5
and that's
game
it
deficit.
Right there, Brian, because yeah. I think people are just all the expectations that were sold, that's what people are getting frustrated sure. about, because we're just waiting for those expectations to be fulfilled. It is a long season and people are riding it inning by inning, pitch by pitch, and when things just don't turn around as they haven't turned around in a permanent nature, consistent nature, that is when people are just going to start saying, I love this team, but I hate this team.
It's a, I've had a week like that too, where someone I've loved for 40 years disappointed me sadly. And I'm not at hate by any stretch of the imagination, mm-hmm. but I don't know if we're on a break, Ross. We were on a break, but we have a Twitter poll question, but I need to get it. I need to pick your music mind too, because the dynamic pricing gutted me and Springsteen Nation this week. And I just feel like
it's like any pro sports team owner, once somebody spends a lot of money on a player, that sets the market, and everybody else suffers.
But know what it is, whether you love a team like the White Sox or Cubs,
yep,
and they let you down,
yep,
you can have a band or an entertainer or someone that you feel like you've enjoyed the ride for four decades, and you think you really know them. I met Springsteen once in my life and was very friendly, but you feel like you share
Know him through his music.
Yeah, you feel like you share the same sensibilities, yep. the same moral compass, whatever it is, and there's a connection there. And then there's what went on this week. We got to get into that. Because
yeah,
I've never seen anything like it in my life.
We will. 312-332-3776. The phone lines are still stacked. People want to talk about the South Siders. They've got game number 4 against the Guardians at Guaranteed Rate today. Dylan Cease against Shane Bieber.
Oh, thank you, Dylan Cease.
Yeah,
this is
going to be good again. Dylan Cease has been rock solid this year, a guy who obviously got passed over for the All-Star game. I can't say I'm too mad about that, but did he deserve that nod? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, but he'll get there.
Thanks,
get
Theo. There. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you for Dylan.
Yeah, we'll be right back with all the phone callers. Let's see, Al's on the line, so is Mike and Paul, and you at 312-332-3776. This is ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Zander on ESPN 1000 from the Old National Bank Studio on State Street. Got the lineup for the White Sox before we jump back in. The phones are loaded here at 312-332-3776. Anderson's at short batting first. Yoan?
Yay!
At third base. Hold on position number 2 in the lineup card. A.J. Pollock in left field, rewarded last night for that hit, which was really a misplay by Ramirez at third. No, Clement at third. And that was really the game winner. Jose Abreu cleaning it up at first base. Eloy, DH, batting 5. Gavin Sheets back in the lineup. He's in right field, batting 6. Hopefully they can jumpstart him. Sebi Zavala behind the plate, batting 7th. Leury Garcia at second base. I guess we have to rest Josh Harrison. Do we have to? Leury's batting 8th, and Adam Engels in center field, batting 9th with that red glove, making a nice catch in game number one yesterday. 312-332-3776.
We'll get to the calls, right? But a Grandal 4-for-7, a walk in RBI. Is it because Dylan Cease and Saval have been such a good team together?
Look, I wouldn't mind if that was the case. I mean, Sebi's been okay at the plate, too, and obviously Grandal can come in.
You need Grandal throughout the second, post-All-Star break here to get going.
You do. And that's a curious question, but I bet that's probably the case. 312-332-3776. Alan Portage Park, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call, as always.
Yep.
So a couple weeks ago, we had spoken. This was before the Sox were going to be playing the stretch of games with Minnesota and with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I was optimistic because, they had their chance to.
Hey, you were the one. I remember you. You were the one.
Yeah. I was optimistic. I said, okay, they got their shot to show what they've got. They've got these teams ahead of them. They're playing them. But then after that stretch of games, even after the 3 out of 4 against Minnesota, I wasn't optimistic anymore because they only picked up one game in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
And going into the All-Star break, I'm calling for a modern-day white flag trade, fellas.
Really?
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me what that looks like.
Okay. So it sounds like the Sox don't have a really full cupboard of prospects in the minors, but they might be able to trade a few guys from this team to pick up some more prospects. Guys like Cueto, Grandal, Pollock, maybe somebody else. Pick up some prospects. Maybe that'll give them a chance to get involved with, the Juan Soto derby, if he's going to be traded in the offseason or if anybody else comes up. Then maybe sign a couple guys. I mean, why not get into the Trey Turner sweepstakes or the Aaron Judge sweepstakes in the offseason? They might be keeping their core players, which is really good. Add a couple guys. But, yeah, guys, modern-day white flag. They're not winning anything this year. And then let's say they did win their division. We all seem to agree the AL Central is the worst division in baseball. So if they win that division, what's it going to do for them? Are they going to beat the Yankees? Are they going to beat the Astros? And even throw in the Mariners right now. They're playing great.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Sox need to make some improvements. And I'm a fan. I like the team. I'm not trying to be a naysayer. I'm just looking at it realistically that this team doesn't seem right. It seems to be winning.
Yeah, thanks, Hal. It seems like they need to do something to shake it up. I just don't know how. They're not going to do anything big during the season. Rick is certainly not going to sell. The trade deadline's, a week away. There's no way he is going to do a white flag selling type of trade. He's going to try to add to the team what that looks like before August 2nd. I don't know. I would imagine it has something to do with pitching. Now, Jose Quintana's name has come up. You've seen this on social media, right, Brian?
I'm not thrilled either.
Although, he's having a decent year, but it's like I don't want to give up anything substantial for him.
He's at Pittsburgh now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep him away from the wine glasses when he's doing the dishes, because that worked out so well.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. That trade where the guy starting today, I believe, was involved in that trade, help. Good luck. You get him for a song. By the way, once we get through these callers, too, before we get out of here, we now know the price of playing poker if you want Juan Soto beyond what you're going to have to pay Juan Soto. So what the Nats are looking for in return, I don't think
it's a tall price. It's not for us. And we speculated about this last week, but now we see what it would actually cost. No.
Oh, we'll get to it, boy. I mean, and I understand why they're asking for what they're asking, but that's why.
But for us, can he play 8 of the 9 positions on the field at the same time? Then we can do it.
He can hit. He can hit from the left side, and he hit the ball out of the ballpark, and he's the real deal, and he's 23. So you could do worse, but it's going to cost you, and it's going to cost you huge.
The price is too much. I wouldn't want to see that on the south side. Mike in Whiting jumping in on ESPN 1000. You're with Hanley and Xander.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to say that I'm a Cub fan.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2020, when I knew baseball was coming back, man, I loved baseball. I was listening to all the interviews and everything, and, I'm hearing the Cubs, and I'm like, yeah, my guys. Then I'd hear a Sox player interview, and I'm going, whoa, that guy sounded hungry. that guy sounded like a fighter about to step into a ring or cage or something, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, it's noticeable because I'm comparing it and I'm going, wow, my guys don't sound like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just knew, I'm like, hey, they're going to do something, you know, in this shortened season. They're gonna have them. I know I can hear it. And I'm not really hearing that now. You know, when I hear their interviews and stuff, it kind of just sounds, you know, flatlined. And it's like, maybe, I don't know if it was a change of management or whatever, but I don't know. I think the organization might have jumped the gun some because, once again, as a Cub fan, all them years of losing, I could remember a good spurt we had, a good month, and, you know, a good playing spoiler or something, giving us hope for next year. And, you know, but you just don't make clubhouse shaking organization moves based on that. And I think, you know, they try to maybe follow that model of bringing a guy in, you know, like a La Russa, or I don't know. It might have been, you know, the Cubs made that move based off more data. We had entire seasons to know, okay, hey, this team's ready to fire. But I don't know. That's just my opinion. That's what I think what's happening now. And but there's still hope. There's still hope real fast because the division, all it'll take is a good spurt, a good 2 months of solid airtight baseball, right. and we'll run away with, you know, Sox will run away with that.
Right. So, the problem is, thanks,
still
Mike.
Hope. There's still some hope. You know, they can just get that fire back.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. You know what? He's right. It's, the problem is, for us Sox fans, we keep waiting for the corner to be turned, and they stop in the middle of the turn, and it just isn't sustainable at this point yet, but there is time. It just did not start out the second half the way we would have wanted it to start off. Now, with a win today, they're 500 after the All-Star break, and we're tired of this 500 play.
Well, a two-month spurt, that'd be a hell of a spurt. Yeah, I think Sox fans would
more realistically, a three-week spurt.
Well, I think Sox fans would settle for a two-series spurt, right?
Mm,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, 3 or 4 from the Twins after scuffling against Cleveland at Cleveland. I mean, the 500 stuff, the ain't going to fly.
Right.
So it's interesting. I will say what our Cub fan caller just said. When, and I've been harping on this for a month and a half, it's just the perfunctory, well, we just, you know, we know it's here, and when we start hitting, it's going to be contagious. I mean, every cliche you could think of in baseball has been uttered, and I'm with him. I don't hear the conviction. I hear the words, and it's different guys filling the name here, and it's, you know, 3 or 4 different guys a week joining the chorus, but the chorus is, the refrain has been the same, and I don't hear that. A couple callers ago talked about, you know, basically the piranhas, right? He wants a team like Cleveland, or Ozzie called the Twins the piranhas back in the day when they played in the Hump Dome, because they would just kill you by 1,000 cuts,
yeah,
right? They would just bite you, bite your ankles and your knees and everything else. They, you know, it just got tiresome, and you hated to play them every day because you knew how it was going to be a slow death, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have this team. This team isn't that team. Couple guys, Yoan Moncada in particular, has been going opposite field and doing, you know, taking what's been given to him, but not nearly enough guys and not nearly long enough stretches.
That's right. And the swag is not there. Now, last year, Tim had some swag, you know, and there was a spirit behind all of this. But was the swag because they were winning, or do you need to force the swag to get into that headspace? You know, it's the chicken
question.
Or the egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the chicken or the egg concept. We really don't know. 312-332-3776. I can tell you this. Why don't we try something we haven't done already? Maybe we should walk around with the swag and maybe try to push the narrative. We've got more phone calls to get to. Boy, the phones are hot about the Sox today. And I'm going to tell you the one name on the Guardians that is just, and it's obvious, but he's just killing us. And it's not Jose Ramirez. And I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. We'll get to that and more when we get back here. It's Hanley and Zander on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Brian Hanley, Mark Zander, ESPN 1000. Sunday, starting to dry up. Got a State Street Fest going on or something like that. And we're here talking baseball right now, Southside baseball specifically. Brian, you've been watching a lot of White Sox this year, probably more than you have in years, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And you have been, as we all have been, is just waiting to get excited. And the excitement, when it comes, does not last long enough.
Yeah, and as a Cubs fan, you get Jason Benetti tonight, right? Today, calling the Cubs.
That's neat. He's everywhere. He is everywhere. And the phone lines are packed, so let's run through them here. Paul in Valpo wants to jump on here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey. I think I look at it a different way. I think La Russa has kind of been handcuffed from the very beginning. Now, is he the greatest hire in the world? I don't know. I'm going to guess A.J. Hinch, you know, see what he's doing in Detroit. But, I think what he was meant to do was this team, I think is from the very beginning, these prospects were flawed. They hit for a lot of power. There's a lot of right-handed hitters. You've seen that in the playoffs. They're not great at hitting right-handed pitching. Their baseball IQ probably wasn't the best. They don't run the bases very well. Their outfield defense is terrible. Their infield defense is spotty at times. So, I mean, I think the White Sox saw that from the beginning. I think La Russa was brought in to teach these guys the game of baseball. But as soon as he was hired, the media and everyone kind of came out and said, "This Tony cannot change this culture. This is Tim Anderson's clubhouse. He's changing the game." And I think these guys might have read their press clippings a little early. They've won one playoff game in 2 years, and one of them was the COVID year. So I think this organization and this group of players they brought up might not be as good as everybody thought they were because they're flawed in certain areas, even though they show potential and there's the Roberts and the five tools. But La Russa hasn't been able to teach these guys because he's on eggshells because the media, every time he does something, is on his butt.
Yeah, but he's not afraid of the media.
He's not allowed to teach these guys, though, because he's been from the beginning. He had to go. And a guy who's been in baseball that long and prove himself to Tim Anderson. Their personalities had a clash. That's not how a manager should have to come. And I get the players have a lot more say than they did years ago. But he's been in that tough predicament from the very beginning. So I think now to go back and blame La Russa and say these guys aren't running hard. Eloy Jimenez, Jose Ramirez took two extra bases on him yesterday because he literally jogged for the ball. That's on Eloy Jimenez. That's not on Tony La Russa.
Absolutely.
He was here before Tony La Russa got here. Yep. Tony's been hamstrung, and he hasn't been able to. Part of it's the media.
Well, the media is not chanting fire Tony.
Thanks, Paul.
That's the pain.
Look, I get what Paul's saying, but there's no way Tony's afraid of the media. He's been around a long time. He's not walking on eggshells with the media. It is our job to dig in to try to figure out what's going on. And at times it seems like Tony's been soft on the players. What does that really mean? Who is that coming from? Has he adjusted to the game? Is somebody telling him to adjust to the game? We don't know.
Well, we've talked about it today, Mark, and we've talked about it ad nauseum. And when you know, the soft argument when it came out, is it between the ears? Is it physically soft team? Or like you said, is Tony at the concern
enabling
him? Right, because the concern was he was out of touch, being out of the game for so long.
So he's over-adjusting. Yeah.
Right, so now he's bending over backward to make sure he's a player's guy, and he'll not take a guy into the office and have the heart-to-heart. He'll do it out in the outfield because he doesn't want it to be intimidating. Whatever it is, our caller raises a lot of great questions. And go back to Al's call. He said, okay, even if they win the division, can you really say, you got to be in it to win it, right? You got to get to the postseason. If they don't make the playoffs.
Winning the division is fine if they accidentally do that, but do we really see anything right now that indicates that they would go far in the playoffs?
Right. But, I mean, he suggested a white flag trade, and and Jesse Rogers will join us before we get
that
out of here.
That is not going to happen.
No, Jesse said they're going to be a buyer no matter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the point is, if they were to completely miss the postseason, is that a wake-up call for the entire organization? In the long run, would that be better? Or would it be such a disappointing season that who knows where it goes with this group in particular in the clubhouse? But, if they find a way to win the division and get in the playoffs, good Lord, you have to win a series. This is right. You know, win one playoff game
not
in 2 years.
Not good enough.
No, not nearly.
Not nearly good enough. By the way, that name, Josh Naylor. That guy scares me more than anybody on the Twins. And he's the scariest guy to me as a White Sox fan on the Guardians team.
And he's batting behind Ramirez. But look, if Kwan and Rosario don't set the table like they've been doing.
And they have been, too. And look,
oh, my goodness.
You know, we're only talking about the White Sox and their failures in this series. But we're not giving enough credit to the Guardians. I still think, as I said at the top of the show, they're a scarier team to me for the White Sox than the Twins are.
because right they play a complete game. They don't hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Nope.
They don't.
Nope.
They get guys on base, get them over, get them in.
And this is a low – this is a – they've got a very low payroll. Did they do a big salary dump?
Yeah, they have the second or third lowest payroll in all Major League Baseball. I said Mike Chernoff, the GM, Mark Chernoff's the great guy who ran the Fan in New York for all his years and a very great guy.
A radio
great guy.
Station, yep.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of a mentor to me for years. Wonderful guy, Chicago roots and the whole bit, or has family here in Chicago. But Mike Chernoff, look at this, what he's done with the low payroll, and look at the guys who know how to play baseball. I mean,
yep.
I'm all for the home runs, you know that. I mean, I get criticized, but with the White Sox, it is hit the ball out of the ballpark. It usually correlates into a win because that's what this team's about.
Right, right. And we need to see some. All right, the home run isn't the end-all, be-all, but it certainly does help, and it certainly helps the White Sox when they hit them.
And I'm seeing, too, real quick, Jose Ramirez is not in the lineup today, so that might be a little break for the Sox, but I know you're talking about your guy right now.
Take Naylor out. Take him out.
By the way,
I will make mention of this, too. When the lineup came out for the White Sox, Harrison was on it. And then when I looked at it again, by the time I gave it over the air, Leury was in. So I'm not sure what that means, but a little later on in the show before we get out of here at 12:30.
It was like Tony knew that you were doing the show today. And
I'm going to aggravate Xander.
Yeah,
let's give him something to talk about.
Here you go. Here's Leury.
Mike in Evanston jumps in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hey, guys. Terrific show. You're really engaging with people. And
thanks.
It's a good show to listen to. Look,
there's
no question that injuries have played some part. However, from management all the way down, there have been nothing but blunders. Look, Reinsdorf's got the right. He signs the checks. He decided to give us La Russa. He has been a disaster. He is not anybody who might win you four or five games a year. He's more likely to lose you 10. I watched the other day or Saturday. We had the bases loaded. In a leverage situation with a batting champion sitting in the dugout, and he prefers to send up Gavin Sheets to strike out on three pitches. It's just inexplicable, the moves and the not moves. He's afraid of Trey Turner on a 1-2 pitch, but he's perfectly willing to let Buxton clobber you with first base open, and Naylor as well. Moving down to Rick Hahn. He made an assumption last year that the Sox were good. I thought so, too. When he picked up Kimbrel, I thought it was a great move. It turned out to be Kimbrel at his prime with the White Sox was not going to beat Houston. And then moving on to this year, to not even offer a qualifying offer to Rodon and let him go for not even a draft pick and make the assumption that Eloy Jimenez was going to be your left fielder, and actually play 75 games a year without being on the IL, while Benintendi, who you've been drooling over for 5 years, was there for the cheap and nothing. So, I'd be interested in your thoughts on some of that.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate the phone call. Well, we're up against the break, but why don't we give those thoughts when we come back? We still got more calls. They're just never-ending this morning. Thank you for jumping in, everybody, at 312-332-3776. We'll talk to you about it, and we'll talk about Eloy in the field. All right, Brian, we'll do all of that when we're back in 2 minutes on ESPN 1000.